And Lewis, uncle, congratulations. I just saw you then. All right, so very cool. As Pastor Tim also said, we are in the fourth Sunday of Advent. Advent is a season and time where we kind of look forward, anticipating, you know, Christ's birth, and also not only his birth, but, you know, Christ's coming again. And we kind of focus on kind of just the different aspects of the Jesus' birth and his story. The fourth Sunday of Advent, we usually focus on the aspect of love and God's love for us, and how, you know, again, he sent his son to come, you know, out of this great love that he has for us. And so let me go ahead and pray one more time, and then we'll go ahead and jump into our sermon this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you again just for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the season, a time for us just to celebrate your birth, your son, Jesus Christ, and just the love that you have for us. And this morning, I pray that we would really understand that we'd really get it, and that we'd really see how much you love us through the story of Jesus' birth, kind of through the eyes of Joseph, his dad. And so we pray that you would just bless this time, that you'd be glorified as we look into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is my kid, for those of you guys who don't know. This is JJ, and there's May. This is his first flight. We flew out to Austin this past week to visit May's side of the family, and we had a great time. You can pray for them. They got sick. So they're sicky, and so you can pray for them. But anyways, I love my kid. His name is JJ. If you guys don't know, JJ stands for Joshua Jeremiah. That's what we decided to name him. And you know, before he was born, and, you know, we knew that he was a boy, May and I were thinking, you know, what should we name, you know, our kid? And it's kind of a big, daunting task to kind of do that, if you really think about it. Like, you know, this is his name. Like, you know, we want to make sure that he has, you know, a good name. And we went through a bunch of lists, you know, we kind of made sure, you know, okay, you know, to do's and not to do's, right? Make sure, okay, good baby names, you know, no war criminal names, right? So no Hitler, you know, we can scratch that one off the list, you know. Stuff like that, you know. We're trying to figure out, you know, what is a good name to name our kid, right? Because we wanted to make sure that it has some good significance behind it. We wanted, you know, to be unique. At first, we wanted it to be unique, but not too weird. But then we're like, oh, well, you know, we want a good biblical name. So we kind of, we're just going through back and forth. And, you know, certain names have certain, you know, just for us, like, we knew, you know, certain people or certain things. I don't know if we'd like those names. Anyways, we kind of came through, and we're like, okay, what are some Bible verses? What are some Bible people, you know, that we really like? And we kind of came down to these two verses that we really enjoy. First one from Joshua 1, 8, 9, which says, "The book of this law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And we really like that verse. We're like, yeah, that's a, you know, that's a good verse. That's kind of a prayer that we want for our kid, right? You know, Joshua, that he would, you know, that he would be in God's word, that they would not depart from him, and that he would, you know, live according to its ways, and that he would be strong, that he would be courageous, that he would know that God is with him. You know, that's kind of our prayer. And so we're like, yeah, that's a good name. We like that name, Joshua. The other one, Jeremiah, this is one of my favorite verses. 29:11-13 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And again, that one is also kind of our prayer for our son, Joshua, that he would also, again, know that God has great things in plan for him, that in store for him. He would come, you know, seek after God with all his heart, and that he would find him. And so, those are kind of two diversity lights. And then as we kind of looked at the name and what the meaning of those names were, so Joshua means Jehovah, God is my Savior. God, Jehovah saves, God saves. And Jeremiah, may God, Jehovah exalted the Lord. And again, those are kind of these good kind of names that we wanted for our son, you know, that he would be, oh, you know, that Jesus saves, that has saved him, and that saves him, that God would be exalted kind of in his life, and that he would exalt God. And so, again, that's how we kind of came to the decision to name our kid, our son, Joshua Jeremiah Liu. And so, kind of our thought process. And I think names are kind of a big thing, right? Names are kind of a big thing for us, and for me at least. I like, you know, like to think about my name. My name means, you know, follower of Christ, being Chris. And there's deep meaning behind these names. And I think in the same way as God named his son Jesus, there is significance in that. And why did he name his son Jesus? And so then we're going to look at that this morning, of what that kind of looks like. So again, if you guys have your Bibles and stuff like that, phones, you guys pull up to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew, first book of the New Testament, right? Kind of 3/4 way into your Bible or so. So Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to look at, you know, the story again of Jesus' birth. Before we do that, let's go ahead and kind of give you guys some background information on Matthew. If you guys don't know, each of the gospel books, they're kind of written for different audiences. So Matthew was writing, when he was writing the gospel, this book, he had a certain audience in his mind that he wanted to kind of reach out to. And Mark did that, and Luke did that. And so John did the same thing. So for Matthew, Matthew's focus was on the Jewish peoples, okay? It was primarily written for a Jewish audience. And a lot of the things, a lot of the big things that you'll see if you read through it, is he wants to show, he wants to prove to the Jewish people, the Israelites, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is king, the rightful king that they should worship, right? And so we see a lot of genealogy kind of following that line, and we see that in the first couple verses, right, of Matthew. And then he also talks about there's a lot of fulfillment of the prophecy that, hey, Jesus is the one, Jesus is the one that was foretold many, many years ago, that he is the Savior, he is the Messiah. So again, through the first couple verses of Matthew, he starts off with the genealogy, right? He starts going, well, this is who, you know, Jesus came from. This is his line. And he wanted to remind the Jewish people that, hey, he is one of you guys, right? He is the one that came. And he mentions Abraham, right? He kind of starts with Abraham. And he also highlights David. Two kind of important people. These were kind of big people for the Jewish culture, the nation, right? Father Abraham, right? We have children's songs about, you know, Father Abraham. He had many kids, and God kind of made this covenant with Abraham. He was the forefather of the nations, and so he wanted to remind the peoples, hey, again, this is who Jesus' line is from. He is from, you know, your forefather, right? He's one of those, and he also highlights King David, right? And he says he is not just a Jew, not just somebody from, you know, from your history, but he also has a royal bloodline in him. Right, he's from the line of King David. He's a king. He's a rightful king to come and take his place. And so Matthew really emphasizes those things. And we see that if you read through the whole book of Matthew. So we come to this verse again, this passage that Pastor Tim read for us. And we're going to look at it again. Let me read for you to you guys again. Matthew 1, 18-25. Okay, you can follow along in your bulletins, in your Bibles up here. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for that is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill, again, this fulfillment of what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took his wife, knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And so, kind of explaining to you guys this passage, what's going on. It starts off kind of, there's some tension here, right? If you're reading through it, there's some dramatic tension in this story. Joseph and Mary are engaged. They're betrothed to each other. And back in the Jewish days, being engaged to one another pretty much means you're married, okay? And so I know nowadays, a lot of times people can get engaged, and that doesn't really mean, so for us, I think it does. Right, but for them back then, it really meant, yeah, if you're engaged, you're pretty much married. It's pretty much the same thing, okay? And so, Joseph, you know, he finds out from Mary that she's pregnant. but not from him, right? And so, okay, there's something going on. Okay, she's either, you know, slept with somebody else, an adulterer, or, you know, I don't know, something. I guess that's the only option, right? What else could it be, right? And so, in his mind, you know, he's thinking, okay, I'm a good Jewish man. You know, the law, if you guys look through Deuteronomy, says that I can divorce my wife if she's unfaithful to me. And so, seemingly, you know, she has been unfaithful, can divorce her. And so that's what in his mind that he decides that he wants to do. Now, he could have done three things. He could have divorced her publicly and just, like, shamed her. And just like, you know, this woman, you know, this horrible woman, you know, has a baby that's not mine. You know, I'm going to divorce her, let everyone know, and just, you know, shame her. Or he could do what he wanted to do, being a righteous man, a good man. He'll divorce her quietly, right? And so he could do that by getting a couple witnesses. This is from the Jewish law, having two witnesses. He can kind of sign this document kind of a thing and present it to her and then divorce her quietly. Then no one would know, you know, kind of a thing, but it'd be legal. Or third option would, he could stay. He could stick it out, right, and just stay with her, regardless of what happens. So in his mind, he wanted to divorce her, you know, quietly and just kind of, you know, leave be, because apparently, you know, she had been unfaithful. But as he was contemplating these things, right, God kind of intervenes. God shows up, right? He sends his angel of the Lord in a dream and shows up to him and says, hey, whoa, slow down, right? Don't jump to any conclusions, even though that's kind of the obvious conclusion. But this is something amazing is happening. Okay, you're going to be a part of something greater, something bigger. The Holy Spirit is the one who has, you know, has given Mary this child. And this child is going to be, you know, the Savior. This child is going to be the one that, you know, you as a Jewish person know that you have been anticipating, you have been looking forward to, you have been, you know, kind of dreaming about, you know, kind of waiting for, right? He's going to be that one, the one that you're going to be. And so, you know, so Joseph decides, okay, you know, this is from the Lord. This is something amazing. This is something special. I'm going to stick it out, you know. And Matthew continues to kind of re-emphasizes this importance that, you know, even after that, right, they never slept with each other until the baby was born, right? And there's kind of the two reasons why for that and why we kind of emphasize this virgin birth. It's actually kind of important, okay? First of all, the reasons for kind of this importance of, you know, Mary being a virgin was, one, it fulfilled the prophecy that was foretold long ago that there would be a virgin birth. Another reason for this importance of it shows that that Jesus was really from God, okay? That it wasn't any man that did this, right? He wasn't that. But this was a supernatural birth. It was something that can only happen from God, something that can only be done through God, okay? And so it shows to us that Jesus was fully God and that he was fully man. And this is a kind of a hard thing to kind of grasp, but God really, you know, Jesus was fully God. He was completely from God, not from man, and he was also fully man when he was born, became a man. Another thing to kind of, for us to think about, to remember is because Jesus was not born from Adam, that sin from Adam and Eve and stuff like that, right, that never came through to him. He was actually perfect. Again, he was wholly perfect, completely, fully from God. But as he lived this life, he was fully man. We see other passages that kind of emphasize that. And so God is fully God. Jesus is fully God. He's fully man. And this is kind of the importance of this virgin birth. This is why we kind of emphasize these things. Okay? Now today, again, the main kind of focus I wanted to look at is upon his name, okay, what his name is all about. And if you guys read through the passage, for me at least, when you kind of read through it quickly, you might be a little confused. You might be a little, okay, it seems like the verses are saying two different things, right? In verse 21, it seems like his name is, you're supposed to call him name, his name is Jesus, right, which means God saves. But later on, the prophecy says that you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us, right? So, okay, so what is his name Jesus? Is his name Emmanuel? Should his name really be Emmanuel Christ, right? Are they the same thing? But their definitions are different. So what's going on there, right? And so, again, right, this is kind of confusing there. And so this is how it is. His name is actually Jesus. Okay, that was the birth name. And the name Emmanuel is one of his attributes, okay? It would be like me kind of saying, you know, Pastor Tim is kind, or he is kind, right? His name is not kind, right? He's not kind saying, but his name is Tim, right? But his attributes, his character, right, who he is kind, right? Or he's generous Tang, or whatever, right? So you can kind of say, not general, generous, right? So whatever it is, all these things. And so if you guys think about it, and you read through the Bible, when it comes to the name of who Jesus is, there's a lot of kind of names that we call him, right? And I love the song, Your Holy Prince of Peace, right? Because it has all these names, right? It calls him the Prince of Peace, you know, your Lord of Lords, you know, King of Kings, all these things, the Mighty God, right? All these things, right? And then there's all these names that are kind of attached to who Jesus is. And this is who he is. These are his names. This is who he is. This is who his character is. This is who all these attributes of who he is. And the one that is focused on in these verses is Emmanuel, the prophecy is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And so I wanted to look at that name, Emmanuel, God with us, because that's his name. And I also wanted to look at Jesus, because that's his name as well. All right, so let's go ahead and focus on this first one, Emmanuel, God with us, right? God with us. His name is going to be Emmanuel. And the significance of that, I really love this because if you guys think about it, Jesus, again, who he was fully, fully, fully God. And he decided to come to us and become a man, right? So if you guys think about it, right, God, Jesus being God, who he was, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-everything, right? Up in heaven where there's no pain, no suffering, no sin, no tiredness, no hunger, none of that, right? That's where he came from. That's where he was. He was next to God, right, with this relationship with God. But he decided, you know, to come down, God becoming with us, to become man, right? And he took on this form, and so that he had to experience hunger and pain and suffering and tiredness and all these physical things that we go through as humans, right? And God, Jesus, decided to do that. He decided to humble himself, as the Bible says, and he decided to come down and he became one of us, right? He became man. He fully took on all of our same human kind of attributes, and he lived it out, right? And not only, right, did he come to us just as a man, but he actually went through everything from birth, right? He came to us as a helpless baby. Now, again, for us, this is when JJ was first born. They are very helpless. Okay, babies are really helpless, right? They need everything. They need you to feed them. They need you to help them, to rock them to sleep. They need them to, you know, change them when they get dirty, right? To clothe them. To take care of them, to do everything for them, and it's all the time, right? Especially as a newborn baby. For those parents, you guys know that. And it's tiring, but as a baby, they're so helpless. Right? They can't do anything on their own. And Jesus, God, decided to come down, not just as a man, not just as a... He could have came as just like a man, but he decided to come as a baby and to actually go through that whole thing, 9 months in the womb, to actually be birthed out, you know, and he ended up in a stable surrounded by animals and all these things, right? And he decided to do that, right? And for us, I hope you really guys, you know, kind of understand that, of the kind of humility that God went through, that Jesus decided to go through by leaving that place to become a man, right? For myself, again, when I think about it, if I was Jesus, or if I was God, why would I send, you know, my Savior, the person who I want people to follow as a baby, right? If I was God, I would want to send Jesus as, you know, some superhero dude, right? Who comes flying in, shooting lasers out of his eyes, you know, and just being like, hey, you know, like, I am God, right? And everyone would believe because he flies down from heaven and does all these crazy things, right? And Jesus did do miracles. He did do a lot of cool things, right? He did show some of his supernatural powers. But mostly he came to become a man. Now, the reason for that, and I think in my head as I kind of think about it, is I think if Jesus came as a superhero God, you know, just like all in his full glory and all that, people would believe, right? It would be obvious that he is God. And they would believe because, you know, they'd be afraid of him or they'd be so in awe of him. And they'd just be like, oh, okay, you are God and I'm going to believe, right? But God didn't want that, although there's time for that, for us to be in awe and fear of him. But he came humbled because he really wanted us to have this relationship with him, right? He wanted us to really get to know him, to have this kind of like, hey, you know, I'm not just God, and you should obey me because I'm God. But I want to know you, and I want you to know me, right? And I want this relationship together. It's not just a one-way thing where you just have to obey and serve and follow me because I say so, because I can squash you if you don't, right? But I want you to believe me and know me, right, in this personal relationship, to really get to know who he is and how much he loves you. So he came, and he became a man, right? And he went through all these things. He went through childhood. He went through adolescence and puberty. You know, he went through, having to deal with parents, you know, and he went through having to deal with friendships and relationships and, you know, struggling with, you know, people hating him and all these things. And he went through all of these things, these crazy kind of things. He went through loss, having people, his close friends, die on him, right? He went through these things. And in that way, by going through all these things, right, he knows, he understands, he's walked through it. And for us, as when we go through these things, we can turn to him knowing that, hey, he gets it, right? He's lived it out. You know, he has gone through these things. He has been able to go wrestle through those emotions. He was hungry. He was tired. He was tempted. He did all those things. And so we can come to him, right? And he decided to do that, because he knew that's the best way to kind of get to know the peoples that he wanted to save, right? I kind of think about it often in terms of missionaries when they kind of go overseas to a different country. And, you know, these missionaries, they really kind of throw themselves into this whole new culture, whole new people groups, you know, and they really have to understand them, right? If you come and you just kind of preach this American gospel to, you know, certain nations, certain peoples, they're not always going to understand it. They're not always going to get it because their mindset is different. But the more you kind of live in there, the more you kind of get to know the peoples and their cultures and how you phrase certain things, how you say certain things, how certain analogies might work better for them, right? That's when they really come to know the gospel, right? That's how they really come to know. And so in the same way, you know, Jesus was a missionary to us, right? He became us. He really enveloped and became one of us to reach out to us again so that we can be able to understand him and know him. And so, again, for all of you guys who are going through different difficult things, know that, you know, that God understands, that Jesus understands. Whatever your troubles you're facing, you know, whatever difficulties you're facing in life, questions and concerns that you might have, you know, bring it to Jesus. Trust him, know him, know that he understands and he gets it. And he wants to, you know, again, be there for you, support you. Okay? So that's his name, Emmanuel, right? Jesus, God with us, God coming down and being with us, right? That's his name, that's who he was. Not only that, but his name is also Jesus. And the definition of Jesus, again, is that he saves, okay? And I like this, right? He's talking with his superhero friends here, right? Because he is a superhero. And he says, yes, this is how he saved. He saved the world, right? It's really cool. So, the Son of God, I like C.S. Lewis, he says this. The Son of God became man to enable men to become sons of God. And this is why Jesus came to earth, right? Ultimately, the whole purpose of him coming to earth wasn't just to, you know, live a good life and teach us these cool things and do some miracles and that's it. But he came, his purpose was to save us, right? He came to save us from our sins so that we can become, you know, a son, a child of God. Right? So Jesus, again, means Jesus saves, God saves. That's what his name means. So Christ coming to earth, he came to save us from our sins, and that is why during this time, this Christmas season, this Advent season, we focus on the birth. And I want us to think about how it is or what it means for us that Jesus has saved us. And the things that we have to understand is that he came as a different kind of a king. For the Jews, again, Matthew, as he was writing to these Jews back in the day, and when he says to them, "You shall call his name Jesus because he's going to save you," in their minds, you know, they were thinking that Jesus was going to come and he's going to be this kind of a king that was going to just kind of throw out, you know, the Roman Empire that they were under, their oppressed people at this time, right? They were, you know, they were like second-class citizens at that time. And so they were thinking in their mind that Jesus as a king was going to come and he's going to take the throne and that they get a rule kind of with him. That was what they were looking forward to. That was the kind of king that they anticipated, that they wanted to see and have. So when Jesus came as a man, as he came as a baby and then a man, born in this little town that no one had ever heard about, they didn't believe him. Like, who is this man? He's not a king, right? He's just this random carpenter's son, right? How can we follow him? And then as he grew up and he started his ministry, he started getting people angry at him, right? The religious leaders, the Pharisees, right? These people got really angry with him. He's like, and then all the Jews are like, even the religious people don't believe him, right? How can he really be, you know, the king? He's just causing more problems. People are angry with him. He's not, you know, overthrowing the Roman Empire, right? You know, how can he really be king, right? And then when he was sentenced to die, right, then there are people like, okay, no, he really can't be the king, right? He's going to die. Like, why should we follow after this man? Which is why in the, you know, Easter story, you know, in the crucifixion, right, before that, Pilate comes out and he says, hey, you know, give you a choice. You can release Jesus or, you know, Barabbas. And they decide to go with Barabbas because he was more of a zealot, this guy who was fighting against the Roman Empire. So they're like, they wanted this guy, the guy who would overthrow the Roman Empire, not this humble man who would come to die, right? But, again, Jesus was a different kind of king. He wasn't one who was going to come and just rule the world with an iron fist. He came to die for our sins, right? He came to die so that we can be in this relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how you guys think about that, about being called a sinner. And I think oftentimes when we kind of share the gospel to people, right, and part of it is, hey, you know, we're sinners and we're in need of a Savior. And a lot of times it's hard for people to kind of grasp. I know some folks who, you know, they're their own saviors in a sense, right? They're really well off, they're successful, and they've done everything kind of on their own. You know, they've achieved success on their own. And for a lot of them, they're like, hey, I don't need God, right? Because I've done this all my life on my own. And there's some other people who, you know, kind of look at it and just be like, hey, you know, I'm a good person, right? I'm not as bad as those criminals. I'm not as bad as XYZ. I've done a lot of good things. I help people. You know, I don't murder or anything like that. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. But the Bible makes it pretty clear, right, that we all need God. Two verses from Romans, right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? And then the other one that Paul also writes, there's no one righteous, not one, no, not one. No one is good enough. And the only way that we can be able to enter into this relationship with God is through his son, Jesus Christ, right? Not our good works, not being a good person, not the success that we have. You know, none of those things, all those things fall short of what God desires for us. And so that is, you know, hopefully, if you're in that camp that you think that you don't need God, we all do. We're not perfect. No one is perfect. And we all need God. The other side of it, and I think for many of us, and at least for myself, I know this, is that I'm kind of like Newton in the sense that I know that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior. I look at my life and I see the flaws. I see the areas that, you know, God I know that God is not pleased with, you know, my attitudes, my thoughts, my actions, words I say, you know, the frustrations that boil out of me and anger and stuff like that sometimes happen, especially with a young kid, that can come out. But I know I need God, right, and that Jesus has saved me, that he has loved me, that he has forgiven me, right? This is what the whole gospel message is all about. This is what Christmas is all about. This is the time that this is what it's all about. So again, this is a pretty, I think, simple message for us to kind of grasp, hopefully, understand. But to look at his name, right, to look at who is Jesus. He is God. He became man. He came to know us, to die for us, so that he can ultimately save us. All right? I'll end with these fun slides of Jesus Saves. All right, so remember this, right? Jesus saves not just as a goalie. He doesn't just save money and save by clipping coupons and save his games after every level or control us. But Jesus saves us. He saves us from our sins. He saves us so that we can, you know, become a child of God, right? And let's hold on to that as we think about who Jesus is. All right, let me go ahead and pray, and then we're going to have another prayer, and then worship team come up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for your Son, Jesus Christ, who did come, became one of us, who is Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you for his humility. We thank you that he is willing to come and be one of us and to ultimately die on the cross for our sins so that we may be saved. And I pray that as we continue to think about, you know, who he is and who his name is and what that signifies, that we would be moved, that we would turn to you, that we would see just how great your love is, that we would run to you in our times of need, and that we can trust in you when things are you know, going our way, knowing that you are in control and knowing that you love us and that we can. Again, we have hope that is in you. So I pray that we would continue to work in each one of our hearts, that we would really get to know you every day, to have this close personal relationship with you, and that we would grow in our knowledge and faith of you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus, and we pray. Amen. Yeah, Pastor Tim.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. And I'd like to invite the praise band to come up as we prepare to move forward in our time of worship. Indeed, his name is Jesus, and during this season, it is often very tempting to forget why we're doing all the things we're doing. So as we pray together this prayer of confession, I invite you to join us and respond and consider how you are allowing Jesus' name to be prominent during this season.